Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. So, yeah, I mean, how did you end up in Boise?
I've actually been in Idaho for 16 years, but not in Boise.
Okay. Where were you before?
We started in Garden Valley. My family, we moved to a youth ranch, and we worked at a youth ranch for troubled teenagers.
Okay.
For several years, and then transferred to Salmon, Idaho, and that's up in the mountains near Montana. We were there for a couple years, and then transferred down to the Boise area.
Cool. So were you working with a youth ranch down here in the Boise area as
No, I started working for another organization. We were doing like free dental, vision, and medical clinics for people in need. So I did that for probably 4 years before I stepped into this role at Impact Hope.
That's so cool. Well, I'm we're rolling. How about, Liz, would you mind introducing yourself a little bit? Tell us about Impact Hope and your role there. I'm curious. You maybe can answer this in your answer here. Do you have medical history? Because of I'm curious because you're talking about the dental and medical. So, but please just share a little bit about yourself with us.
Okay, great. Well, my name is Liz Thompson. I work for Impact Hope as their executive director. I've been working with them for about 5 years now, and I travel to Rwanda probably 3 times a year to visit the students in the project. Impact Hope is actually an organization that helps support refugee youth that are in refugee camps in Rwanda. You recall the genocide 30 years ago? These are refugees left over from the genocide timeframe. And they're from the Congo. They've been in these camps for up to 30 years, and not a lot is changing. And most of the young people have no hope. And so we work to help sponsor them to leave the camp, go to a Christian boarding school in the country, and then help them graduate. And then we give them a vocational trade and help them start small businesses.
That is really cool. That is really cool. So you get to go out there 3 times a year and you visit. Do you guys have graduates each year that you're able to go and see and be a part of that?
Well, you know, in Rwanda, they don't graduate high school like we graduate. They just finish. so there's no graduation. And really, the only graduation they would ever have is from a university if they get to go. But probably only 3% ever get to go on to university from a refugee camp. So vocational trades are what we do to help them succeed in life. But yes, I get to go and meet with the kids and interact with them in their schools. Sometimes in the refugee camps, I go and meet their parents and their other siblings. You can't imagine how happy the parents are for the presence of Impact Hope in their kids' lives. Because these people, they live on 11 cents a day and really can barely feed their families. So going to a Christian boarding school is impossible for them. So this is truly a miracle for them. And it just takes a lot of people here in the States to make it happen.
That is so cool. And we have to look at this idea. You said it's been 30 years. So they've been there. Some of the people who are there have been there 30 years. So that means, I mean, if we're talking about kids, youth, they were born there. It's all they've ever known.
Most of our students were born in these refugee camps. There's 6 refugee camps in the country of Rwanda and about 134,000 refugees. People don't know this. And I was shocked when I found out. I'm like, what do you mean? I thought the genocide was over.
I
mean, so in Eastern Congo, there's still conflict. There's still war. People are still fleeing the Congo into Rwanda today. We have some students that have come over in the last 5 to 7 years because they had to flee for their lives. And so there's still conflict over there. So they can't go home to the Congo, and there really isn't jobs. There's just very little for them to be able to succeed in life or to, like, help feed their kids.
Yeah.
Most of our students only ate one meal a day for their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So when they went to these Christian boarding schools, that was the first time they've ever had breakfast. They were like, what is breakfast? So they learned so much when they step out of these camps because they live in mud homes. No running water, no toilets in their houses. They're very tiny. So they have to take their jerry can, walk down the hill, fill it up, bring it home, and try to build a little fire so they can create some food and feed their kids.
Man. So how long have you been involved with Impact Hope?
For 5 years now.
5 years.
Yes.
Okay.
So I started out just working part-time for the founders of Impact Hope. And just over time, I rolled right into becoming the director of the program. And so we've grown over the last 8 years. Impact Hope started 8 years ago. And we started with 200 kids. And now we have over 1,200 kids a year that we help. And there's so many more waiting.
That's amazing.
In the camps, yes.
That's amazing.
Probably every year there's about 10,000 kids waiting for a high school education.
No way.
So some of them have some opportunities near some of these camps, but others don't.
Yeah.
They have to walk up to 5 miles a day just to get to a school.
Wow.
And we had one kid, his name is Jackson, and this was his story. And he was determined to become a doctor. And this was actually when he was in the Congo. And when war started, they lost their cattle. They lost their home. They fled to Rwanda. And then he was devastated because he's like, we have no money. I can't go to medical school. So he pushed himself all through grade school. And then he started walking 5 kilometers a day just to get to a school in Rwanda outside the camp, and would hardly have anything to eat. But he persevered. He became an Impact Hope student. He was chosen. And literally in October, he graduated as a doctor.
Oh, that is so cool.
So we're so proud of him and excited because he's now working as a medical provider and helping actually people from the camp as well.
That is so cool. And that's amazing. Becoming a doctor and now he's able to give back.
Yes.
Have you guys had people that have been assisted by the program kind of come back and be more involved in the program over in the Congo or in Rwanda?
In Rwanda, yes. We have those that have graduated the program, whether it's vocational trade or university. And there's one student, his name was Bosco. He went, he had high grades, so he was able to go to university, graduated with an accounting degree. And we were actually looking for somebody in our procurement department. And we called this university and said, hey, do you have anybody that we could interview? And so they sent this guy over. He was one of our graduates. And he didn't know he was coming to Impact Hope. We didn't know he was coming back. And now he works for us.
That is so
cool. In our office. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's really great when we're able to hire graduates. We have a vocational trade school that we run in northern Rwanda. So some of those teachers are actually graduates from our program now as well.
That is so cool. I always say how unity starts with awareness, right? We have to know what's going on. We have to know what each other are doing so that we can partner together.
Absolutely.
This idea that there are, how many camps did you say? How many refugee camps?
Six refugee camps.
I mean, I know quite a few people are familiar with what happened in Rwanda, primarily because there was a movie made about it, right?
Right. Hotel Rwanda.
And so I think it's interesting because you guys are dealing with something that for a lot of people, especially over here in the U.S., it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Right. And so how did this even get started? And what has it been like trying to bring this focus or awareness of what's happening to people. I'm assuming you guys are working with people not only in the U.S., but all over, but especially over here, you know, in our Northwest area. How has that been? What has that been like bringing people to an understanding or awareness of what's happening?
You know, that kind of work is like one day at a time, getting the word out there. One of the founders of Impact Hope heard from, he's a developer in Portland, and he heard from another organization who told him that they were helping university students from the refugee camps go to university. And they're like, have you heard about these kids? They're Christian. Do you know anything about them? And he's like, no, I never heard about it. So they said, why don't you come see? So he went over and he saw the need of these kids over there. And he was devastated. He was just like, why is this even happening?
Yeah.
Like, how are these kids suffering so bad? There was this school. So there's these students. They came to Rwanda under war turmoil. Yeah. And they had no school past ninth grade. And they were so sick of sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens when kids are doing nothing, not good things.
Uh-huh.
And they said all kinds of bad things were happening, and they wanted an education. So literally they built their own school out of mud and sticks in the camp. And they went all around the camp and said, if you were a teacher in the Congo previously, would you come and teach us every day so we can learn? So for about 4 years, these teachers would come. Nobody's getting paid.
Yeah.
Nobody has anything, but they were teaching them their knowledge. And those kids were about to graduate from high school, take the national exam.
Mm-hmm.
The government steps in and says, nope, we're shutting down this school and you have to start over. So these kids who are 18 years old and about to graduate high school had to go back, and they said, you can go to a camp or to a school outside the camp up to 5 miles away. And they're like, we can't afford it. We can't go.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids actually built this school and called it the Hope School because they were looking for hope.
Yeah.
And when the government shut it down, you can't imagine the devastation.
Mm.
So Hans, the founder, he was there right after this school closed. And he said, what happened to those 204 kids? They said, they're still sitting in the camps. He said, we're going to find sponsors for those kids.
Wow.
So he came back to America and started telling everybody about it and started raising funds to be able to send them to a Christian boarding school outside the camp.
Wow.
So those were the first Impact Hope students, and that's how it started.
Mm.
And so from there, the founders started going to churches, going to events, and just sharing about, you know, what's happening in Rwanda and finding sponsors for these kids. And so, now we're up to 1,200 kids a year.
That is so
that
cool.
We are supporting through the help of people in America and even some in other countries are helping support these kids. So we have a website, impacthope.com, and on there it tells about the program. We actually have a new video series. We just created a 13-episode docuseries, and it's on our website under the news, and you can actually see the stories and like look and see and live like what?
Yeah.
That, like, it's unbelievable.
That is really cool.
What they actually have to go through.
Yeah.
And sometimes that visual cue for people really helps them to say, wow, okay, I'm listening to this person, but now I see it.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I would absolutely, that's something I want to get on and make sure I go look and see. You said that a lot of these kids were Christian.
Yes.
That surprises me. Okay, so they're coming over. They're fleeing from Congo. A lot of them. Some of them have been raised there because they were started there from the genocide. Mm-hmm. So you have people coming from conflict, people who are still there because of a conflict that happened over 3 decades ago.
Yes.
And where did this Christian witness or presence? Maybe you aren't sure where it all started, but to me it's just interesting that okay, now we're talking about there are believers over there in these camps that are losing hope for a brighter future, and that should not be the case, right? I feel like as the body of Christ, we should be able to look at anyone in a devastating situation, in a situation that seems hopeless, and say, we want to do something about it.
Yes.
And for me, it strikes a chord, and it's an even more so when it's somebody who we say, they're a brother and sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. This is part of the body of Christ. And I can't help but think, you know, if they're suffering, we're suffering. And so this is interesting to me that before Impact Hope even got started there, there was this conversation of, have you heard about these kids? They're Christian. and they need help.
Yeah. So. And these people said, what is your church doing about this? And he's like, well, I've never heard of it.
Like, there was an expectation.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, let's get involved.
Yeah.
They said, let's help. What can we do?
Yeah.
And literally from here to there, the life, mm-hmm. like I sit in the studio and you see all this amazing equipment all these things, and we get to sit here on these nice couches. These people sit on wooden benches or in the mud.
Yeah.
Their whole life. And they're just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why them?
Yeah.
Why not us? Why are we so privileged to be here?
Yeah.
And they still sit in a horrible, desperate situation.
Yeah.
And now we, as believers in Christ, have this avenue. We have this mechanism that we can go help those people.
Mm.
So you can't just walk into a refugee camp and say, I want to help somebody. It took years of working in the right pathway through the UN and through the Rwandan government for Impact Hope to be able to actually start helping these kids and get them to allow us to mm-hmm. take them out of the camp and send them to a Christian boarding school. So it's God has opened doors so mm-hmm. that this pathway is there for people in America or anywhere to be able to say, I want to help. I can do that. I can change one person's life with $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And literally you can.
Yeah.
The doctor who graduated, somebody paid $50 a month for him to be able to get educated. Now he's a doctor.
Exactly. And now he's serving people even in those camps and helping people medically. That mm-hmm. to me, that's amazing. As you look at this idea of, and I'm glad you brought up, it was difficult getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something that we can just pick up and say, you know what? There's something going on over there. I'm going to take a flight and I'm going to walk in and I'm going to just help them out. Right. And so there was a lot of things that needed to be worked out with the UN, with the government over there. And there's a lot of structure that you guys have set in place to where now it can be as simple as we're going to do this and we're going to donate $50 a month or so much. And we're going to make sure that we're sponsoring somebody.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be that simple otherwise. And I'm thinking of the difficulty of dealing with our own government, much less, right. Much less a foreign government and the UN. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I love that, because to me, it speaks to this idea of, okay, if we work together, there's so much more that we can accomplish.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's no need to me, I feel like we always do a disservice when we reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you guys have found something, a really amazing, true need that you guys are being and bringing that hope that wasn't there. Right. And so it's not this idea of reinventing the wheel. I can think of other organizations. I know me and my wife, we've even given to some where, and I think we can get confused
mm-hmm.
with looking at different organizations saying, oh, they all do the same thing.
Sure.
Right. You give here, you give there, it's all the same. You guys are meeting a very specific need.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone needs to reinvent the wheel here. We need to kind of rally and say, hey, here is this place where we're able to come in and serve a mm-hmm. community that's desperately in need.
Yes.
Children and parents who are without hope and say, no, we're going to give you hope for a better future. And we've seen that. I mean, you gave us two examples already where graduating with business accounting, right? And being able to work for a nonprofit now.
Yes.
That's being able to go through and become a doctor and now mm-hmm. serve people who are refugees and others. Like, you're giving these examples of we can really help change things and meet true needs and provide this hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. What would you say when, as far as your experience with Impact Hope, how would you say the body of Christ or being unified or unity within the body of Christ has really been on display or helped to further the mission, make this possible?
What I love about the ability to share a need with
yeah.
people, especially people who have a heart for Christ,
mm.
when they see that need and they see that there is someone out there that is willing to help and continue to help
yeah.
where they are, and if they just decide to join, they actually create the change for the future. For not just one person,
yeah.
but for a generation. Because you think of all the people that will be affected by that doctor.
Absolutely.
And those that will be blessed by that. I think the more that we give of ourselves and take away the need to go to the mall or to buy that next thing on Amazon and say, you know what, okay, I'm going to commit
yeah.
to God that I am going to give this much a month and be able to serve somebody in Rwanda
yeah.
halfway across the world. They may not step into that place, but I see these kids.
Yeah.
I see their parents. I see the tears in their eyes when they say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Tell our sponsors. They call you mom and dad when you become their sponsor. Tell our mom and dad, thank you.
Wow.
Because they're really changing our life.
Yeah.
There's not many things that you can do for that amount of money that you can
exactly.
see.
No, absolutely.
A literal change.
Absolutely.
And change a person's future. So
yeah.
I love that when people get together and they hear about this message,
mm-hmm.
Especially believers, their hearts are tender towards
yeah.
the mission that God has put in front of us.
Yeah.
And they join us.
Yeah.
And then we increase our numbers. We take more kids out of the camps.
Mm-hmm.
We change more families' futures.
Exactly.
And that is because of the unity
yeah.
of the believers in Christ.
Yeah. And that ability to share,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that in itself is a step towards saying, okay, we're going to be in this together.
Mm-hmm.
That is an act of unity and just saying, this is important enough. We're going to put it in front of our people.
Yes.
Right. We're going to open the door. We're going to give that opportunity to share. And I think sometimes there's so much we're trying to balance.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of just as, you know, as a ministry leader, you know, trying not to overwhelm the congregation, right?
Right.
Trying to, you know, be smart and kind of filter mm-hmm. what comes before everyone and, you know, what do we give our precious, you know, 60 to 90 minutes each week? What do we give that time towards? And I wholeheartedly believe that this is one of those things to where if you just allow people to hear it, you don't have to hard sell.
Right.
Right. It's not like you got to go around and shake everyone's hand and, you know, try to really convince them. This is one of those things that people just need to hear about it.
Right.
They just need to know. And it reminds me, my wife, Christina, kept on bringing up this passage, kept on coming up in conversation for us, is how will they know unless they hear?
Right.
Right. And I mean, in that we're talking about spreading that gospel, right? But this comes back to Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And the Great Commission is not just a matter of proclaiming the gospel, but it's making disciples.
Yes.
And it's teaching them everything that Jesus taught. And he has taught us to take care of the least of these.
Yes.
He has taught us that when our brothers and our sisters are in prison, they're in need, they're hungry,
mm-hmm.
you know, they need clothing, that when we do that for them,
yep.
we're doing that for him.
Absolutely.
And so this is, to me, it's one of those things to where we may not feel like we have the time. We may not feel like this is something that we can balance. To me, it's one of those make time. Like make it a priority. That's just, to me, it's what it comes down to. And that's sure. A lot of times that's what it is for unity. Mm-hmm. And we can't be in everything.
Right.
Right. We can't be in everything, mm-hmm. but we can make time to share something like this. Because it can be as simple as, you know what? Maybe we're not going to dedicate a Sunday to it, but we have social media. Like, let's let's put it out there. Right.
Absolutely.
And it's I feel like unity says we're going to prioritize these kinds of things and say we can be a part of this and this and this without it taking up a lot of time, because Impact Hope or this organization has already laid out the groundwork. They've gotten the foundation. Mm-hmm. They already worked their way through the UN and the government, and
yes,
they have
steps.
The structure. So it can be as simple as, you know, mm-hmm. giving this 1 minute of people's time. And then from there, they can give it another minute mm-hmm. of signing up. And now right. it's done.
And then you can be on automatic, and
right?
every month your student goes to school.
Exactly. And you are changing a life, mm-hmm. literally changing, and not just a single life, but that family.
Yeah, the family's life.
I mean, that family, and then everyone mm-hmm. that those students, the ones you're sponsoring, are going to be impacting moving forward.
You know, one of the things people, when they hear about maybe a new organization,
yeah.
they're like, are they trustworthy?
Yes. Oh, you know, absolutely.
What kind of nonprofit are they? What
yeah.
are they doing?
Yeah.
And we've worked at Impact Hope over the years to become a 4-star charity.
Nice.
And also have a platinum level
yeah.
On GuideStar and also Charity Navigator.
Nice.
So people can go on those sites and
yeah.
type in any nonprofit and see their documents,
mm-hmm.
see how they spend money, where yeah. the money goes. We've been blessed over the years to have enough donors and board members to be able to cover any expenses in the U.S. that it costs
nice.
For overhead.
Yeah.
So that your $50 goes to your student. And it actually helps them have their uniform, their
yeah.
food, their bed, their tuition,
exactly.
their transportation. Like, it gives them everything that they
that
need.
That is so cool.
So, and that's important, you
yeah.
know, and also being a tax deductible mm-hmm. organization. People
yeah.
want to know that as
oh,
well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it takes years, but, you know, you get there, and the Lord has blessed to be able to get there.
Yeah.
And now we have this mechanism that we can help more. We can help thousands
exactly.
more, literally. There are places for these kids in Christian boarding schools in Rwanda.
Wow.
They're ready. We just need the people.
Wow. That is so cool. So I'm assuming you guys work with some specific Christian boarding schools out there,
yes,
have close relationships with some
mm-hmm.
of them.
Yes.
How would you know off the top of your head about how many that you guys work with out there?
The different schools?
Yeah. How many different schools you work with?
We have probably 10 to 12 different schools
wow.
that we send kids to. So we vet them,
yeah.
of course. And then, we make sure that the education that they're getting is
yeah.
what we want them to have.
Yeah.
So, and we every year we add more because we add more kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put a lot of refugees in one school, and we don't want to overwhelm that school.
Exactly.
So we add more schools that are in Rwanda.
Exactly.
So, and there's a huge, like, there's a place for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's available. We just need the funds. We just need the people to dedicate one sponsorship
yeah.
to these kids so that they can leave these camps.
That is
you know,
so
the
cool.
the desperation of girls in the camps
uh-huh.
is really hard.
I bet.
So it's a society where usually males get chosen for education
mm-hmm.
or jobs before girls do.
Yeah.
Girls are in the home. They're raising all the younger kids,
mm-hmm.
sometimes up to 5 to 8 kids
yeah.
in a small little house. They have to do the wash. They have to, you know, everything there takes hours and hours
mm-hmm.
and hours to do. Cooking food over a fire
yeah.
every day, washing the clothes. And so when do you have time to study?
Exactly.
You go to school, the lights, there are no lights after 6 p.m. because the sun goes down. There's no electricity.
Yeah.
So when do the girls get to study? After they do all their chores. Yeah. It's a tough road for girls. So Impact Hope sponsors 60% girls in our program. Not only is that a difficult road for the girls, but the abuse.
Yeah.
You know, the girls that are taken advantage of that end up pregnant young, and they're devastated. And then they're like, well, there goes my education. Mm-hmm. We've had girls that have been in our program, and we heard about people coming from outside the camp and raping girls. This girl got pregnant. She was in our program. She was home for the holidays.
Oh, no.
And then she had to drop out. After she had her baby, Impact Hope came back and said, we want to send you to a vocational trade school.
Yeah.
So you'll need to leave the camp for 6 months. And she did. She left her baby with the family and went and got an education and then was able to become a tailor.
Yeah.
And actually be able to work and feed her child in the camp. So there are girls that they live a hard road.
Yeah.
And the trauma. I mean, you can't even imagine fleeing a country because your dad was just killed in front of you.
Yeah.
And now you and your mom and your brothers and sisters are running, trying to flee the bullets and get across the border. So coming into a new life with that trauma.
Exactly.
And they live with it. And they don't have trauma therapists there like we have here in America. You can go see a counselor. Mm-hmm. Over there, they just have to keep going to survive.
Yeah.
So Impact Hope also offers psychosocial rehabilitation for these kids. So there's a lot of need.
Yeah.
And it goes way beyond eating more than one meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to help in all areas. But to us, we want them to learn the love of Christ.
Yeah.
And to be able to know that they are chosen. They are a son and daughter of Christ, and they have that love. They have that salvation, just like we do.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't know about it. Some of those people aren't Christian. They don't know Christ until they go to a Christian school,
boarding school.
And they're introduced to him. And then they come out and they're like, wow.
Yeah.
And then they share it with their families. So it's so beautiful to hear the stories.
Oh, yeah.
To share the stories of the results of what happens.
Yeah.
Rwanda.
It's another example of body of Christ coming together, doing things together, working hand and foot together, and that end up leading to the world, those who do not know Christ, coming to figure out who he is and understand who he is. And they're literally walking in that love and in that grace. So I imagine at that point, it's a lot easier to hear and receive when you're literally a byproduct of the body of Christ working in love and unity together.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. That is so cool. You mentioned that there's the gentleman that now works for Impact Hope. Mm-hmm. There's the doctor. You mentioned this young lady who got the vocational degree.
Yes.
Or vocational trade. You guys see a lot of those that are coming from the boarding schools that you guys have sponsored, a lot of them and their families being able to move outside of the refugee camps?
We have some that have moved outside the camp. We have others who have a thriving business in the camp now because of their education.
Yeah.
It is more challenging than you would even understand in order to transition to live in a city in Rwanda from the refugee camp.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of, first of all, just moving to the city, it would take them year or two to raise enough money to move themselves.
Wow.
They have an uphill road.
Yeah.
So initially they learn a trade. Let's say they have they're learning tailoring. They received a startup kit from Impact Hope. So they have a sewing machine now, and no electricity. So they have the treadle sewing machines. So now they're producing clothes that they can actually go and buy food and feed their families. So it starts there.
Wow.
So once, they start learning a better trade and they can learn to do more, then they can start earning money to be able to buy shoes, you know, for their siblings or send them to school.
Exactly.
Some others will be plumbers. And of course they have to leave the camp to go be a plumber.
Cause yeah.
So they actually live in a small city or a town and, then they move their families out.
Yeah.
So each situation is different. But it's challenging for them to be able to, just pick up and move.
Yeah.
You know, that was our goal. Okay. We want them to move out of the refugee camp. Well, when you learn the process and you learn how difficult just a daily life struggle is, it's a long road that they have, but they are actually given an opportunity now.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it may not be immediate. Mm-hmm. It may be that they build a business there within the camp, and then it's years down the road before they're able to move out. But like you said, now they have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So some have, and some are working towards it, right?
We actually have students that were resettled to the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So the U.S. government takes so many refugees a year and resettles them in the country and provides them a visa. And some of our students that were in high school literally were, their family was resettled while they were in the Impact Hope program into the States. And then we get to hear from them.
Yeah.
And they say, I can't tell you how thankful I am for the years that you put me into this boarding school, because transitioning into American lifestyle from a mud hut is, they don't even have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even know what a stove like is, a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
Just that transition of life is crazy.
Wow.
The difference. We had one student that got on a bus that we sent to pick him up, and he left the camp for the first time in his whole life. He was like 14, and he looked and he saw this black stuff on the ground. He's like, what is that? And they're like, it's pavement. They don't know very much when they live in these camps. And so just getting the opportunity to live in a different environment before they're resettled to Europe or to the U.S. was a huge undertaking and something that meant so much to them, because they were able to start that process already of change before they came. So the situations, you know, there's so many different ones for each kid. And it's different, but the trades are where we're helping the most kids in the camps.
I can imagine. So absolutely.
We help them learn a trade and then start a small business with tools to be able to work in that trade. So, and the government of Rwanda actually is promoting that to their citizens. Good. They prefer that more people work into trades instead of university, because there's not enough jobs.
Yeah,
for those that graduate from university.
Mm-hmm.
And refugees are always chosen last. So, you know, unless they become a doctor or a lawyer or something, it's a tough road to get a job.
Wow.
So the Lord has given us wisdom over the years and led us into starting a vocational trade school so that we could help them in a Christian environment.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we sent them to other trade schools, but it wasn't a Christian environment. And so we said, Lord, we want to open one.
Yeah.
So we were able to, with donors that helped us.
That is so cool.
So we were able to provide that. And then they get that education. Not only the refugees, but when we settle, when we have a school like this, we take those from the immediate area that are in poverty. And we also give them an opportunity to come and learn a trade
near our school.
So. There are Rwandans that are also suffering as not just the Congolese refugees.
Yeah. So. And like you said, even some outside of the refugee camps, right?
That are
still facing the repercussions of what happened and still struggling. So I think that's really cool that you guys were able to open up a trade school. That's really
You should come see it.
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. I'm curious what trades do you guys have in there? Mm-hmm. Are there some that you guys have your eyes on?
Right now we're teaching tailoring, culinary, agriculture, hairdressing, and welding.
Wow.
We do have some kids that are in plumbing and electricity outside of our school, because we don't have those.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be adding carpentry.
I was just going to ask that. I was going to ask whether or not carpentry was something that would be feasible out there. So that's something that would be able to be a good job out there. And that's cool. I'm like, you got to, if you're doing trades, you got to think about carpentry. Right. Jesus was a carpenter, right? So if we can get him in that line of work. That's really cool. That is awesome. The only other one that I can think of is plumbing, and that one's difficult. I know another trade, and I highly doubt this is a thriving one out there, is linemen.
Electricity.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, when you step into the Rwandan villages, it's like stepping decades back, you know, into our society.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is how water is working in their community and electricity, and it's so very basic that, you know, we're thinking like an electrician school here or plumbing. No, you're going back to the 50s, to the 40s, and what were they learning back then, and what did we have available? And, you know, they're just... most people in Rwanda are walking to a well and filling a jerry can.
Yeah.
So they still don't have running water to places in villages.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to do there. But you know what? People there, what I love is that they have smiles on their faces.
I was going to say, I bet they're so
happy.
They're
walking down the road, and that's their mode of transportation is walking. So you're driving, and there's throngs of people on the sides of the road walking, women carrying things on their head with beautiful colored skirts, and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they're doing what they can in their life to provide for their kids.
Exactly.
And take care of their home. And, you know, they're not looking out for trying to become rich.
Yeah.
They want to be able to live a good life and to be able to share, you know, enough with their kids.
Yeah.
So... there's a lot we can do
to
be helpful, and especially in these refugee camps.
Absolutely. Something that, and you would likely be able to answer this, when it comes to means of transportation, walking is a primary. There are vehicles that get around. Is bicycling a, is that a, I guess the best word I can come up with, reliable form of transportation
for a
out
lot
there.
Of them, yes.
Okay.
And when you start watching the videos that we created, the docuseries, you will see people pushing probably 200 pounds of cabbage on top of a bicycle.
No way.
Or a huge metal door on a bicycle, or stacks of bricks.
Yeah.
It is the most amazing thing to drive down these roads and see how they can engineer something on an old metal heavy bike.
Wow.
And they are going uphill. Rwanda is called the land of 1,000 hills. Literally, you are doing this.
Yeah. And so mountain bikes.
They don't have mountain bikes. They have old metal bikes that don't have gears.
Yeah.
Some of them do, but most of them don't. And these guys are like, you can't even imagine the cardiovascular strength that
they have
pushing these things up these massive hills.
Wow.
It's incredible. Even some of them barefoot.
Yeah.
Or in flip-flops.
Wow. Like,
I have seen so many things that I'm like, these people really know how to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do whatever they have to get the job done. So it's really incredible what, you know, they will think of and...
Yeah.
What they can accomplish.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But bicycles, yes. Bicycles, and there's motorcycles, a lot of motorcycle taxis.
Okay.
Most people can't afford a motorcycle, you know, so they're walking or they might have a bicycle.
Yeah. So that's my pitch for vocation is bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to make some bicycles and that would
or
be a good one.
Or fix some bicycles.
Yeah, or fix, yes. Mm-hmm. Make them fix them. Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, is there any final thoughts, anything that you would like to share in closing off? One of the things I love about ministries like Impact Hope is it's one of those ministries where you get to have a lot of interaction with a lot of different ministries, a lot of different believers. And it's absolutely necessary. Ministries like Impact Hope, ministries, a lot of ministries that have the name Hope in them, we rely. Really rely on unity. We rely on believers in the body of Christ and different organizations and ministries in the body of Christ rallying together for something. And I love it because we're able to say, okay, we all know this is something important, so we're going to put the focus here. We know that taking care of those that are in the refugee camps, those that have been hurt, that are going through struggles and situations that we can not even fathom, that is a priority. That's something that's close to God's heart. We know that's important. Yes. And so we can rally around Impact Hope and say, we're going to make this happen, because they put in the legwork. They already have a way of doing it. They've made the process. Now we can just support. And so with that, is there any final thoughts that you have as far as the body of Christ working together, and any advice that you would give to ministry leaders or believers out there when it comes to the body of Christ collaborating and working in unity?
Yes. And for somebody in leadership, in a church, getting people involved in missions and teaching them a heart of giving will do more than a seminar on, you know, this, that, or the other. But actually showing somebody that what they choose to do with their money or their time can really help someone and actually is following Jesus' footsteps and the call that he gives to us. That unity of people doing that together is one of the best feelings and being able to say, I am part of a mission that is changing people's lives and bringing the gospel to others. Those that don't even have the gospel or those are without hope. Being able to say, let's work together, whether it's a nonprofit here in Boise that is needing support. Or some kids that, you know, need a program or something, getting ministry leaders and just people in the church to say, okay, I'm going to step up. I'm going to give this much time and I'm going to do something. The feeling that you get for doing missions is, and I think God wanted it that way, you know, he teaches us to serve other people, which is what Christ did. And it helps change us. It changes our hearts. And then it changes our minds, and then it changes our direction. So what I love is that when people get together and they say, yes, yes, Lord, I want to help. What can I do? And some of the simplest ways is sponsor a student. Support a kid to change their future. And everything is there set up for them. And you are the one making it happen. And, you know, on our website, we have a page that has pictures of our students, and a person can literally choose a student and then they can write letters to their students. So I'm taking over a big package of letters from sponsors, in 2 weeks. I'm headed back to Rwanda. So they love to get correspondence from their sponsor. Like, it is one of the things that encourages them so much. We have one student that finished her RN, and she was desperate to do something because she had a mom that was mentally disabled. Her dad was killed. She had five younger brothers and sisters, and she was the one taking care of the entire family. She's like, Lord, I have to do something to be able to make money. She was chosen by Impact Hope to go to nursing school. And she's now back in school doing her BSN, and she has dedicated her life to helping and serving other people. And I can see the Lord just working in her life and blessing her family. And that's because a donor here in the state said, I will sponsor her. So it's incredible to see the ripple effect of what happens when people actually say yes.
It makes me think of that, the idea of not despising the small beginnings. God tells us about that when the foundations of the temple were remade and, you know, sometimes we have this vision of grandeur in our minds, right? Maybe we've seen something previously, like some of the people God was talking to. You saw the former temple. He's saying, don't despise the day of small beginnings, because the latter days will be even greater than what they are now. And what's so cool about that is if we think of something as simple as I'm going to sponsor a child, that's just the beginning. And especially for ministry leaders, you think about this, like that can be just the beginning if we don't despise it, if we value it. Because sometimes we can think of it as, okay, well, I can do this, and then that's just where it stops. And so we kind of close ourselves off from what it can become. But if you keep your minds open to what this can become, that sponsorship and how it can really transform this family's life, and knowing that you can play a role in that, you can write, you can engage regularly in prayer. And God uses that, because if he sees you engage, he's going to say, okay, their heart's in it, and he's going to provide more opportunity. And I think what's so cool about that is it can start with as simple as, okay, I'm going to take that step of giving. I'm going to take, and then it could lead into, I'm going to take that step of writing, of praying. And before you know it, you're over there on a trip, right? And before you know it, you're thinking of different ways that you could do more and serve more. And you find yourself not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So we don't want to despise when it starts small, because that giving is being a doer. And if we don't despise it and we say this can become something special, then we can continue to focus on it, give it attention, and see it grow. I think sometimes we plant the seed, but then we don't water it. We'll plant the seed. we'll say, okay, I'm gonna give to this or that, and so we plant the seed, but then we don't water it because we don't see it as this big magnificent tree yet, right? But don't despise that little seed, that day of small beginnings, because if we continue to water and sow into that, something amazing can come from it.
And you know, one of the ways ministry leaders can make a change within a group is to have, let's say it's a group of high school kids or younger kids in church, and they decide to sponsor one student together. So there's 10 of them.
Absolutely.
And they're all coming up with, you know, $250 or $5 a month and pooling it together to change that student's life.
Yes.
That's a great way to teach kids. And they're excited, you know, and they can all write letters to this student. The student will write to them. So it's one of the ways, it's a small way to be able to help kids start learning how to give of what they have.
Absolutely.
And just give a little bit and make a huge change.
That's so good.
And teach them at a young age to start giving and to be able to serve people. And as they get older, it becomes, you know, a natural habit.
That's so cool. And I love that you mentioned, you know, get a group together of, you know, 5-10 people and then split the costs, right? That's one of those things where I think sometimes we'll hear a lot of people in the U.S., we're on slim times right now, right? But again, kind of going back, let's not despise small beginnings. Maybe you can only do 5. Maybe you can only do 10. But that adds up because, again, we're not doing this alone.
Right.
We're doing this in unity. So your 5 is going to come together with someone else's 5 and someone else's 10. And it's going to add up to a sponsorship. So, like, let's even what little we can do. I like to say God can do more with our feeble efforts, that the little bit that we can do, he can do more with that than we could do with all of our strength and all of our might. So, I mean,
you're right.
We can trust him to take what little we can do and multiply that and grow that.
It's that little bit of your heart that you are giving.
Absolutely.
And giving to God and saying, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give you this much.
Exactly.
And let you do with it, and then it changes us.
Absolutely.
So that's what I love about that giving cycle is it literally changes us.
It does. It does. That is so great. I'm so glad we were able to have this conversation. Do you mind if we close in prayer?
Yes, please.
Father, I thank you so much for this amazing ministry, the amazing impact that is happening over in these refugee camps in Rwanda. We thank you so much for the vision and the heart that you place with this ministry of Impact Hope. And Father, we just ask your blessing and your anointing upon everyone who's part of this, from Liz to all of her team, to the founders and every board member, to all of those who are giving, every partner that they have, and those that are considering giving. I ask, Father, just that your blessing would be upon them, that you would anoint them, and that you would take their efforts, you would take everything they're doing, and Father, that you would multiply it and bring fruit that is 10, 50, and 100 fold, that would be so amazing. We would think never thought it would go there, but we get to rejoice over the amazing impact that's happening over there, and seeing not just individuals, but we're seeing families. And Father, I believe that we're going to see these camps, and we're going to see even a nation changed because of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking this time to sit with us. I know you guys stay busy, so we really, really appreciate it. And I would encourage all of our listeners, as a quick takeaway, don't despise the little things that we can do together. There's something about us adding in when we can get behind a ministry that we see is doing something valuable, something big, like with what Impact of Hope is doing. So what little you can do, I would encourage you, go on their website, spread the word. Maybe you feel like you're tapped out. Maybe you can spread the word. Maybe you know some people. And that's one of those things with ministries.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's why it's so big. If we can just share and let people hear. I wholeheartedly believe that there's someone in every single church that would say, I can do this.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely. And if we're able to do that, if we just one person from every little congregation, and now we're all in it. Now we're all in it together.
Absolutely.
So
I encourage your listeners to check us out at impacthope.com.
Yes.
And learn more. Call us if you have questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nathan.
All right. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.